Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, it's the Water Cooler Nerd Talk. Oh, it's the Water Cooler Nerd Talk. Oh, it's the Water Cooler Nerd Talk. Oh.
I wasn't ready to freestyle. What's happening?
What's going on? Your boy Dre here. Water Cooler Nerd Talk, episode 1. You know what I'm saying? Alongside my good friend.
Oh, I'd introduce myself?
Yeah, you introduce yourself.
Oh my goodness, the pressure. My name's Alden. What's going on, everybody? This is going to be the podcast about all things nerd, geek, things you're passionate about, things that you might talk about when you're at work but not actually working, and we do it all nerd, no budget.
Because no budget. We have no budget, no sponsors. Yeah. If you hear this and you want to sponsor us, please feel free to, you know, give us a holler, because we ain't got
Jeff
no
budget. Jeff Bezos wants to throw money at this podcast, I will not say no. I know he listens, obviously, on the first episode. He knew it was coming.
Yeah, you know this is coming. So, without further ado, Water Cooler Nerd Talk, all things nerd, music, movies, like Alden said. We're just going to jump right in. You know?
Because we had a big movie come out that we both got to see right before we recorded this. We're recording this about a week after we both saw it, and that's Captain Marvel, the 21st movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. 21 movies.
21,
11
yeah.
years.
I can't believe it's been, that long, yo.
I was a child.
Crazy.
I was a small child when I was watching Nick
just
Fury.
A young boy.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody loves me. cries off to the side.
I'm saying, you know.
Watching Iron Man 1.
It seemed like the time just went by.
Absolutely. It's flown by. Like, now it's all this conversation about, is Tony Stark going to die in Avengers Endgame?
Well, I can tell you this. There's definitely going to be some kind of casualties.
Oh, people are going out.
Like,
for sure.
Like, I might even shed a tear. I cried in Infinity War.
Oh, yeah.
When Spidey died, so.
See, but I'm an easy nerd cry.
Yeah, like, so it's going to be like a slight tear.
I've cried in like 6 of these geek movies. I cried when T'Challa was yelling at his dad in Black Panther. I cried when Spider-Man turned to dust. Spoiler.
Yeah,
I cried in Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I cried during, you know, Lion King when they threw Mufasa, when Mufasa died. Just a little side note right there.
It's still too soon.
Yeah, too soon.
I think that movie's older than me, and it's still too soon.
Yeah, too soon. So,
Captain Marvel comes out, and this is the story of Carol Danvers, who in the comics has gone by a couple
different
names.
She's like the fifth one to carry the Marvel everything. So.
There's Monica Rambeau, who in this movie is a child, and so there's been a few Captain Marvels throughout the comics, but she is the most recent and most popular, and it is the first Marvel film to be solo led by a woman. We've had, obviously, great women throughout the movies.
Exactly.
But never anybody that has carried the movie and it was sold on them. So, Dre, why don't you start with your reaction with the movie after you finished watching it?
Well, initial reaction was like, wow, this movie was dope. Marvel did it again. excuse me. I gotta say, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And crazy plot twist, if you haven't seen it and you're listening to this, you're just
going full spoiler.
Turn it down a little bit.
All right, that was your spoiler warning, people.
I love the plot twist, the way they did with the Skrulls.
Absolutely.
And the Kree.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for years, the Kree and Skrulls been just battling, warring against each other. And I love the way that Carol was like kind of caught in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And going in, I thought her main threat was the Skrulls.
Absolutely, yeah. All the trailers led you to believe that.
Exactly.
It was a very well laid plan. And they got Ben Mendelsohn to play Talos, the lead Skrull.
Talos.
And he's a villain in everything.
Yeah.
He's a villain in Dark Knight Rises. In Star Wars.
Exactly. It's crazy, like I said, how they switched it, because, of course, in the comic, the Skrulls are like, they bad.
Yeah, for the most part, it's always been them. Like, I mean, the Kree have done some bad things too, but like 99% of the whole Kree-Skrull war was always
Skrulls
are, they're being jerks, they're showing up. They're looking like your grandma.
Shifting, yeah.
They're looking like your kids. And this movie showed a soldier, because Carol was in the Air Force,
Air Force.
An experimental pilot. It showed a soldier having to deal with the fact that sometimes you might be on the side and you call yourself the heroes, but your side actually sucks.
Yeah, she was kind of playing the moral compass in this situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But like I said, I loved it. I love the fact that, you know, she found her power, her true power and what she's here for.
Right.
You know what I mean? And of course, with Monica Rambeau and her mom, shouts to Maria. You know, Maria. She was just as dope as Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she was flying that spaceship. And then, you know, if you're into the comics, you know Monica Rambeau, she kind of takes...
She becomes a Photon.
Becomes Photon, but she changed it to Spectrum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's
so
in
the
Ultimates and all that stuff. That's a different...
Yeah, I wonder if they'll pay that off, but it's a good segue, you know, into the supporting cast. I mean, you've got Sam Jackson, who is 70 now, de-aged to playing himself circa like
young
Pulp Fiction,
Nick Fury,
like in the middle of the 90s. What a badass.
Agent Coulson.
Coulson is back, and he's brand new. He's brand new to SHIELD.
Just got
he's
on,
like, oh,
yeah.
He's the new guy, and you've got Goose the cat, or is it a cat?
I don't know. You know, what did Talo say? It's like
it's a flurkin.
A flurkin.
It's a flurkin.
A flurkin.
And as the scrolls say, like, it's a flurkin. It's a high level threat.
High level threat.
Yeah,
Nick Fury. Low level threat.
Yeah, they put it like in a plasma like cube.
And I love
thing.
Like I think this movie was perfect for everything now explaining what's to come because this set up everything before Avengers.
Right.
Guardians of the Galaxy because the setting with the Tesseract, I'm seeing that like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And when Carol says, yo, hold on to this.
Yeah, and what's cool is that like the attention to detail with mm-hmm. things like that because, you know, I've only seen it once so far. I'm sure I'll see it again at some point, but when you are thinking about those small nitty-gritty connections, so you've got Annette Bening who plays... spoiler alert again.
Mar-Vell.
Yeah, Mar-Vell, who in the comics was a man, the OG Captain Marvel, passed the mantle on. Annette Bening's Mar-Vell is working on Project Pegasus, where she's trying to build a lightspeed engine. Mm-hmm. It's such a small little thing, but for those that have seen the first Avengers recently, if you've rewatched it, at the beginning when they're working on the Tesseract, the wall says Project Pegasus.
Yeah.
So you know that was a SHIELD affiliate, and they are paying off things in the present by showing you something in the past.
Yeah, and how she was brought on Earth as like a spy.
Which is another thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're a little bit older than me. Not that Dre's old. Don't at him. but how awesome was the 90s vibe?
Oh,
the
man,
movie?
That was great seeing the Blockbuster video.
Yeah.
I remember going to Blockbuster because it was set around 94. So, mm-hmm. you know, 94, I was like, you know, 9, 10. Something like that, you know, and like going to Blockbuster with my older brother and my mom, renting the video games, like that just brought back like nostalgia and mm-hmm. seeing the Game Boy set up when she's making the device.
Radio Shack.
You know what I'm saying? Radio Shack. It was great. I love how they set that up mm-hmm. and painted that whole picture of like, this is the 90s and with Sam Jack's hair, the way he was rocking his hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I could say like, this movie, like I said, everything now is space-based. They're going to just continue in space for everything.
They really found like their niche. Even things that are not as space-based, like a Thor, he really shined in Ragnarok, which was on different planets, and he shined in Infinity War with the Guardians. And so it'll be interesting to see what other of their properties are going to cross over, you know, because, again, spoilers, now the most major spoiler. Obviously, we both really like this movie, and humor and the tone and the setting are all great, but for the nerds, that after credit scene,
yes,
where they set up her involvement.
But let's rewind back when Nick Fury had the pager, remember?
Yeah.
When he pulled it out, Carol's like, what is that? Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, this is like, you know, my communication device, whatever.
Talks to his mom.
Yeah, and she took it and modified it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like when she, you know, here you go. If you ever need to contact me.
For emergencies.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy because it's like, they've been through some stuff.
Yes.
But it hasn't ever been what Nick considers an emergency.
Yeah.
So you get at the end of the after credit scene, she shows up on Earth with some Avengers, and you know she's going to be in the next one. So now you've opened the door. Like, is it going to be Hulk in space? Is it going to be Black Widow in space? Like, who's going to be the next thing that gets a little bit of that vibe? Because you're right. They from 2008 to now, ever so slightly, they've amped it up where it's like more space, more
moving
space.
Moving away
like,
from Earth.
They see that people love that
with
stuff.
The Guardians.
And Ronin. I think that's what proved it. It's like, no one knew who the Guardians were before, unless you read comics, you know, which we did. But it's most people didn't know who the Guardians of the Galaxy were.
And, this makes way for, like, if you watch, remember there's a scene when Talos was talking about his planet was destroyed.
Yeah.
This brings thought to Galactus. We probably can bring him in now.
Yep. Galactus, you know? Or an Annihilus and
Kang.
You know, Kang and the Squadron Supreme. And there's so many different things that they can do.
And just have Captain Marvel in these movies and, of course, the Guardians and just the Avengers can come out the space.
And you can get away with all the silly stuff because she grounds it. Because Brie Larson in the movie, we haven't even talked about her, like her acting.
I thought she did a great job.
She's great. She's aloof. She's cool. She's throwing up the little cowabunga. Like she's got this. Like she's as confident in what she does as a pilot and a soldier as like Tony is when he's like building stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You get that. Like that's their thing. You know?
She did a great job. I loved it. Like just not only because the main protagonist was a female.
Yeah.
It just shows like. She did good. Like I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I got to say, like, out of 10, I would probably give this movie an 8, a strong 8.
8 feels right to me, too, where it probably sits on my list somewhere in the Ant-Man-ish range of just, like, things that are just so much fun. But you know that once you throw them in that group setting, when you see them as part of the team, that they're really going to shine.
Yeah.
Like, I know that. We just saw her do a bunch of crazy awesome stuff, but I don't think we're even close to seeing what she can do.
You know, after the credits, Captain Marvel will be back for Avengers Endgame. So
which is only about a month away.
Yeah, exactly. So. And like that's gonna be all in space with aliens and stuff like that, which
brings us to segue.
Why
don't you give a little intro to a Guardian of the Galaxy
to a Guardian
in studio?
We got a Guardian in studio, okay? We have, excuse me, let me get a sip of this water.
Here we go.
You know what I'm saying? We have the son of Jor-El, okay? You know, he's a associate. We work with him at the station. Very cool guy. Loves everything, space talk and everything. You see, if you see him walking down the street, you probably think he's Clark Kent, because I like to call him Clark Kent. But his first name is Tom. Tom O'Connell's on the show, a.k.a. Mr. Galaxy's here. First guest on Water Cooler Nerd Talk. What's going on, man?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Well, you guys weren't kidding when you said this was Nerd Talk. This is like some real intense. This is authentic.
Authentic Nerd Talk. So we wanted to bring you on the show because you spoken to me a couple months ago, even before, about extraterrestrial life.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I can just jump in a little, because you guys said so much about the Marvel movies, and now we're going to kind of segue into some, you know, we're talking about sci-fi a little here. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about like science, like real science, right? Science fact or whatever, however you want to say it. But there's actually a crossover. So these movies, all these movies you're talking about have real data in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned Project Pegasus. Mm-hmm. Is that... What's the first instance that's ever come up in one of these movies?
So Project Pegasus first appears very briefly in the first Avengers movie when Fury has Dr. Eric Selvig working on the cube right before Loki shows up. So like that's the lab. But then you never really know what it's about until this movie, which is about, you know, in the 90s, and they're working on, they're trying to harness energy to work on a light speed engine. But it's like a government, like black ops type thing. Like no one knows it's actually happening.
Really? So because there's supposedly a true program called Project Pegasus.
Really?
Now, I hadn't heard of this in these films before, but I spoke to a guy years ago who was involved in a project called Project Pegasus, and I was part of DARPA, and it was a secret government project. Probably some light speed type things in there, but a lot of it had to do with kind of time travel.
Really?
And travel through space, like teleportation. They talked about different things like a chronovisor where you put on these glasses.
The time and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can actually look into a different time. They had like cameras that could see So, like, supposedly they were filming, like, historical events and, like, the signing of the Declaration and all sorts of strange things.
That's crazy you say that because, like, the government, they withhold a lot of stuff that we don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like there's stuff that we want to know, like the whole Area 51, you know, mm-hmm. and there's stuff that they're covering up. And just the fact of, like, you know, extraterrestrial, like other life forms that are probably way more advanced than we are, and we don't even know it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what's interesting is that, you know, I remember, you know, recently there was the early 2019 government shutdown, and I remember people online saying, oh, like, what happens to Area 51 when there's a government shutdown?
Right.
And someone pointed out to me, like, did you know that Area 51's security is a private, paid, like,
yes.
external, and
it's
so,
like, its own thing.
Yeah, so it adds to the, what are they doing? Like, if that's the one place where the security is paid for and
wow.
not actually on government
yep.
payroll, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. So you do,
oh,
and,
yeah.
and Tom, you know. You've got the Mr. Galaxy intel. Like,
yeah.
you've had some experiences. So why
yeah.
don't you... You and Dre have spoken in the past, but this is the first time that you and I are properly getting to know each other. So where does this all start for you?
Yeah, like let us know. Like, tell not only Alden your story, but the listeners want to know when you were first visited by extraterrestrial. Like, I want to get into this again. So I know Alden's dying to hear this, so just go ahead and explain.
So how does it start? I mean...
Like, what... Like, take us to that day when you explained to me... Like, it was like 10 years ago, just
yeah.
do your thing.
This was in 2008. I was doing a lot of video editing, sound editing, and I felt like I was always being watched.
Mm-hmm.
I was working on a film score, and I was playing the piano, and I would feel like constant, like, looking over my shoulder.
And where
you
were
know
you,
the feeling.
You living at the time?
Tujunga, California.
Okay.
Just outside L.A., which I later found out there's a book called The Tujunga Canyon Contacts. And about all these people that were getting abducted, who lived in Tujunga. Later on, I realized that I told someone about my story, and
mm-hmm.
they said, oh, there's a city under Tujunga. I'm like, what? What are you talking
really?
About?
Really?
And he told me this story about a massage therapist who was a friend of theirs. And a lady came in and was getting a massage. So the woman who's doing the massage says, oh, wow, yeah. Doesn't feel like a regular
normal
person.
Massage. Yeah.
You know, like, you look like a person, but your bones are in different places. It almost looked like human flesh stretched over a non-human.
Really?
You know, yeah. It's very weird. So she said, oh, you're not from around here, are you? And the lady said, oh, it's funny you ask. Actually, we live down below, you know, below the city, and we come out and we monitor, you know, human activity and, so they were actually very open about it.
Wow. So, Tujunga, California,
right.
you're there about 2008, you're working on the film scores. What happens next?
I mean, you know, it's a long and weird, complicated story. So if you need to,
just the,
you know,
the
rein me in
version.
A little, you wanted the reined in version. Basically, I was meditating. I was aware that there are extraterrestrials that were watching me. Basically, at a certain point, I was like, all right, I get it. You guys are watching. You're interacting with me. You
mm-hmm.
hear my thoughts. You're always there. And at a certain point, I just started accepting it. And when I, which sounds crazy, right? If you say this to your friend, like, oh, there's ETs, like, watching.
Yeah, they're like, what? You're crazy. Like, we don't believe you.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean... And if that's as far as the story went, then I would probably look back and say, wow, I was really crazy back then, you know? But, all right. So one day I was meditating and I'm sitting, like, you know, in a meditative stance, and all of a sudden my phone rings, right? Setting this up, because this is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
My phone's ringing across the room, and cell phone. And I start seeing with my closed eyes this undulating.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like light, like spiraling light, really bright in my closed eyes. Uh-huh. What the heck is this? And then the second the phone stops ringing, it stopped. And I'm like, what? Why did that happen? And then I thought about it. I said, you know, think about it. Like a beam was sent from a satellite into my bedroom, and I kind of saw it, you know?
Really?
So I was tuning in to the subtle frequencies, you know, when I was meditating.
Right.
So later that night, I'm meditating again, and I start feeling that same kind of pulsation, this visual.
Like some energy.
I mean, a visual, like if you look at a light bulb, and you stare at a light bulb, and then you close your eyes, you ever see that light bulb?
Yeah.
You see the light, right? That color, that's how everything appeared, that like UV kind of spectrum. So I'm meditating. This undulating light is now appearing in my eyes, and I'm getting this pulsation in my feet, my foot, my left foot, actually. And it started vibrating and moving up my body. And the whole time I'm thinking, this is it. Like, they're here. Like, I just knew. It was like kind of psychic.
Right, like in a knowing.
Yeah, it was a knowing. And so now this energy has moved up my entire body. My heart is racing like you would think it was like a heart attack, you know, but I didn't think that. I was just like, wow, this is crazy.
Right.
And
now, not to cut you off, but at this point in the game, you've had these inklings and you have heard about the massage experience and everything. Are you out to personally interact, or are you like, I have to prove it, or are you, I have to disprove it? Like, or what is your perspective at this point? Or are you just sort of giving yourself up and saying, whatever happens, happens?
Well, I didn't hear about the massage story by this point. I heard about that later.
Okay.
So that was like confirmation.
This is like after.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So,
oh, and by the way, to jump way ahead, when I found that Tohunga Canyon Contact book, on the cover had an ET that looked just like what I saw.
Really?
So I was like,
yo, I just got goosebumps right now. So, okay. So your heart.
Right, so we go back.
Heart pulsating.
Okay.
Beating, heart rate up.
And then you guys were asking kind of like, what am I thinking here? Am I trying to prove it, disprove it? So I basically accepted that there was a group from the Pleiades star system who was contacting me. I 100%, like, you know, that was where I was at that point.
Wow.
I was like, I believe that. So I was basically like opening myself up to that. And when I would meditate, I would feel them kind of working through me. And I was familiar with those vibrations that would start in my left big toe for some reason and move up. And usually they would get to, you know, my leg, but then this time it
went to your chest.
Yeah. So I was pretty much like excited, hoping for physical contact, not really knowing what to expect. The next thing that really happens is that I was in like a studio bedroom basically, but it looked out to the outside. So I had a yard and glass doors.
Mm-hmm.
So in through the glass doors walks dozens of people basically. Now my eyes are still closed because I'm meditating, but I'm seeing these like silhouettes. Like when you stare at the light bulb, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you stare at it really long and it's like a dark room, it really stays there in your vision. It's
right.
Really clear. So it was like that, but humans moving, interacting. So nothing fixed.
So almost like they're interacting on some sort of other frequency or plane. Like they're there, but they're not so much concerned with their surroundings. Like they're moving through ours like almost energy based.
Yeah, like weaving through it.
So like not like these are the types of, like you can't shake hands with these extraterrestrials, but there are.
You're aware that they're there.
They're in a different state. Like you're solid and they are amorphous.
So That's a great question, and it's actually something that I've struggled with for the past, you know, 10, 11 years. Like, really, what were these beings? Were they physically there in the room? Now, I kept my eyes closed the whole experience, and I can give you very specific visual details that, you know, it's like, how do you see that? I've never seen a vision like this before. And it was more than a vision. There's like all full sensory, all five senses, six senses
working.
And so I struggled with, like, were they physically there? But I kept my eyes closed, so I only saw this aspect of them. Were they physically there, but in like phased out, so no one could have seen them, but I'm like tuning in. So
you can only see them in a sense.
Are we kind of meeting in the middle where they were, why I'm feeling so much like pulsation and vibration? Are we meeting in the middle? Like, have they like raised me up to the like halfway and then they brought them step down? So we're like interacting. Were they in a ship somewhere and they're projecting this whole thing to me?
Like an image.
Right, like, are they in, like,
a studio? Are they trying to make contact, or are they,
Exactly, so after, like, these beings, silhouettes came in your, through your door, in your room.
Right through the glass.
Through the glass, like, what did they do? Did they just watch you, observe you? Like, what happened next after that?
So, yes, they watched, so they pretty much just kept coming in and coming in, so now I'm seeing, like, this... this standing room, you know, of several dozen beings looking at me. And you see the little subtleties of like turning of the heads. And I remember one being kind of on the side, sort of did like a lean and like a lean in and kind of like almost
trying to figure
crouching.
You out type situation.
Yeah, like little things.
Studying.
That, you know, like if you watch like a cartoon that's made by hand, and then if you watch like a rotoscope, you know, rotoscope, you know, that's a real person behind the rotoscope. You can just tell the idiosyncrasies, right? That's how this was. It was like, that's, you're seeing personality come through. So, oh, by the way, like part of this meditation, I'm playing a harp. I have like this lap harp and I'm playing that harp. And so I'm like, all right, everything I'm doing, I need to just keep doing.
Keep doing,
like,
right.
My eyes were closed when I started, so I'm not going to open. So, because I thought, all right, if I open them, am I going to see something crazy that I don't
that
know
you don't want
to
see?
Or am I going to, is it all going to like disappear because it's only so subtle that I can only, you know, it's like magnetic or something, like, you know, I'm only picking up on this UV light. So I kept playing the harp. So then they're all there and they're basically like listening to me play the harp. So it became
basically you were giving them a small concert, basically.
I basically
put on a show.
Yes. Yeah. What I'm saying is I'm basically the first artist in history to play a concert exclusively for an extraterrestrial audience.
Yeah, that's amazing. Did you get
amazing
standing ovation?
They were already standing. So yeah, it was a standing ovation.
They were like, we're not sitting for this. This is, right. And what's crazy is like how we, you know, because we were talking about Captain Marvel earlier, and that's got, I think, three or four different alien species in it. The things that we've accepted as so classically alien, colors and this, that, are really intimidating.
The shape of the heads.
Yeah, eggheads or whatever is so, so often not the accounts that you hear. Like every first contact story or abduction story or anything I've ever heard has always been something way more like metaphysical.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm sorry, Tom, what are you gonna say?
What you're saying is so true, and yet I want to jump in and say that it's like I'm always challenged by how diverse the universe is. So I think I think that it's all the above. Like, I think that, you know, like the, like what you're saying, the egghead or like the big eyes and the big, like, that's real also.
Yeah. And I think there's like there was a movie that came out a couple years ago. I forget the name, but they were explaining like a species of aliens called like the Greys.
Yeah. So that's a real,
they're like species. Aggressive aliens. You know what I mean? Like, Like, they're like, you know, we're going to abduct you and take you and
in the same way,
harm.
The same way that, you know, people have all mm-hmm. these different cultures, you know, and that's what I've always said. Like, it's, you hear people, like, I understand skepticism, but you hear people say flat out, but there's no aliens. It's like, that's such willful ignorance. Like, yeah. If we're one planet in one solar system, in one galaxy, like the mathematics of that, like, it's human hubris. Like, yeah. We're the only ones. Why? Yeah, why that, you?
That's hogwash. Like, I believe that there's life on other worlds, planets, everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, species far more advanced than us. And I know we're still a young species. You know what I mean? So right. You can imagine life on other worlds. It's like way advanced than us as far as like technology and everything. So these beings that probably visited you, Tom, are probably just light years ahead of us, and like, you know, just trying to figure out what you're about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that the last point that we want to hit before we start wrapping up is communication in terms of your life and other people that might have had shared experiences. Did you talk to family members? Have you met other people? Have you reached out to anybody you heard about in the book? Now you have your own kids. So, like, is this going to be a story that you tell them when they're little and encourage that type of research and get the books and all that stuff?
Right.
Probably. I've shared this story with many family members. Some people just don't.
But did they believe you?
I think they, you know, the one thing that I hear is, I believe they say something like,
I want to believe, but I can't.
I believe that you believe that. That's what I get. And I'm yeah. like, what does that mean?
It's a little bit like gaslighting somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh, did you drive home yesterday? Yeah, I drove home.
Well, I want to believe.
I believe that you believe that you it. Drove home.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. All right. What
well,
does that mean?
For the record, Tom, Mr. Galaxy, I believe you. Okay. And I believe in all of that.
Me too.
So does Alden. All the life on other worlds, I totally believe it. But before we wrap this up, and I know some people are probably dying to know, maybe Alden is, but I am. Did they inflict any bodily harm to you? In other words, did they probe you?
I knew you asked that. I thought we were gonna do like, oh, like that subject's off limits or something.
Well,
like
hey,
that.
I gotta know if you was visited by these beings. I need to know. If
yeah,
they,
no, we should get real specific.
I'm not sure what you told me last time if they probed you or not.
I think you know what I told you. All right. Well, here's the thing, right? So there's a lot of visual stimulus that I'm looking at, right? Mm-hmm. So much. It was like watching a movie. There's a lot of things I heard. I heard voices from them. And if that's all it was, I would probably still now 10 years later say, did I really experience that? I remember seeing these things. But let me tell you, I felt very physical sensations. A couple things. They beamed a light down.
Down what?
Okay.
They lobotomized you?
Well, hang on. Oh. Kind of. Pretty much every kind of surgery that you might, if you were an ET, that you might think of doing to a human,
so
they much did it all.
So they beamed some kind of light.
There's a few different beams. So, and they interacted with the architecture of my home. So, like I said, the glass door, mm-hmm. they were light beings. They walked through the glass. I had a vent on the ceiling. They used that vent. I realized later it came from where the vent was. So this light beam comes down and straight down. And I have a piano there with a metronome.
Oh, okay.
The light then bounces off the tip of the metronome. And then it comes directly into my eyes. Kind of like in the movie
like
X-Men.
Like a laser.
Yeah, like how Cyclops beams the red light. That's how it looked coming at me. And when the light hit my eyes, it felt like a pressure change. And I've had laser eye surgery before. So I was like, that is like an eye
a
procedure.
Laser, yeah.
And then there was another beam that came down, very similar. But when it, the eye one came real fast to my eyes once it made that turn at the metronome.
Mm-hmm.
This one hit the metronome and then came really slow, like a ball, and hit me right in the chest. And it was very like almost like a punch. It wasn't painful, but
just like a just like a little slight a punch, like a
felt it. And then and I saw a lot of faces too, and we could do a whole other episode.
Yeah, that's a whole other episode for that.
We have to do a follow up on some of the details of that. But nothing that left you feeling frightened. More so, things that are like inquisitive, like not acts of
you weren't scared.
Violence. Yeah,
no,
what we call violence.
Right? No, not at all. I think here's the thing: if someone else was in my shoes, they might have been so terrified the whole time that they felt like someone broke in their house. These aliens came in and tried to stick them with things.
Tried to probe me.
Yeah. So yeah, there is some probing involved. Yes. that's just the easiest access point to most of the vital organs in the body is right through there. And then they did like a head thing.
Like scanned your brain.
So I'm going to send you guys because you guys are probably plugged in with social media, but I've been trying to depict, like, how do I depict this, right? It's really hard to even begin to draw this out. So I decided to make, like, comics out of it, like little comic strips.
Hey, okay.
So it's kind of like I use a little humor to try to portray it because there's no way I can even get it exact. So I'm trying to, like, kind of infuse, like, something that maybe a kid can look at and say, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
I'm going to send you. I made a few of these.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you got to check that out, Tom.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Well, Mr. Galaxy, we can go on for hours talking about this. Definitely appreciate your time, taking the time to not only let me know your story again, which there's some parts that I've forgotten that were new to me, but new to Alden and to the listeners. If you're listening right now, if you experienced anything that Tom spoke about, let us know in the comments and maybe we can bring it up in the next episode and definitely have you on again to talk about, other worlds and some more beings and whatnot.
Absolutely. And to bring it full circle, you guys started out talking about the movies and I'd say most of those movies, especially the Marvel, they contain real truth there and deliberately. Like there's teams of people who are putting that there. And people like Spielberg were briefed on these subjects. They've probably seen real things. George Lucas.
Yeah.
Star Wars is 100% like true. Like a lot of the ETs look like humans too. And as diverse as those movies, the cantina scene and all that. Like,
absolutely.
Wow. Well,
there you go, people.
There it is.
It is, Dre.
First episode in the can. Tom O'Connell, a.k.a. Mr. Galaxy, a.k.a. Clark Kent. You know what I mean? Thank you so much for joining us. And Alden, great, great show. You know what I'm saying?
I think so. I definitely think so. We've got our first recurring character. And what's great is he works on the first floor of the building we're in.
So we can always ask him a question.
That's right.
So before we wrap, Alden, social media, Twitter, Instagram, let them know.
You can all find me on Twitter at @AD_Strider or on Instagram at @A.D.Strider. And then working here on Big 105.9 South Florida's Classic Rock.
Hey, and you can check me on Twitter at LogicMC, Instagram at It's Orion Pax, ITSORIONPAXX. And you can check me on 103.5 The Beat, Miami's new number one for hip-hop, R&B, and The Breakfast Club. Shameless plug right there. So that is it. So stay tuned.
Go to my website.
Oh, you got a website?
Go to my website, CelestialCealing.com.
That's right. Go ahead and plug your ish.
CelestialCealing.com. That's my ish.
Yeah, there it is. Be sure to check out Tom, Mr. Galaxy, Water Cooler Nerd Talk. It's been fun. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.